stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. And then he goes into his third and final doxology, the last pillar of 1 Timothy. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Paul is saying, this king you serve, this king that we serve, is too lofty. It is too glorious for one to dwell on the riches of this earth. These false teachers are not focusing on eternity because they don't see Christ as the desire of their lives. But Timothy, do not focus your attention on earth, on riches on this earth where moth and rust destroy, but in heaven where Christ is, on the immortal King of heaven. So Paul concludes much in the same way that he started this letter. Verse 20 of chapter 6. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. Again, he's highlighting the importance of guarding this glorious gospel that has been entrusted to Paul, to Timothy, and to you. Two quick applications. What can we glean from 1 Timothy? What can we know about this book as a whole? Well, two quick applications. The first one is that the gospel is too glorious for you to tolerate bad teaching and bad doctrine. There are times where you may need to pick up arms and fight the good fight of faith because God's glory is at stake. You, as a follower of Christ, is called to maximize the glory of God in your life as well as to encourage it and maximize it in others. We speak the truth, yes, in love and in gentleness all the time, but with firmness and boldness, never compromising the truth. And if you're ever in a situation where you're trying to persuade someone of the truth and to repent and to trust in Christ, to trust the Word of God, and there's a doctrinal issue, and it gets nasty and it gets very divisive, remember the saying, it is better to be divided over the truth than to be united in error. It is better to be divided over the truth than united in error. Yes, we speak in love and gentleness. We treat them as brothers. We treat them as family. But never compromising the truth. Because God's glory is too great to allow that to happen. Secondly, the second application, sound doctrine is immensely practical, as we will see in 1 Timothy. Sound doctrine is immensely practical. Doctrine and practice can never be divorced. And some people like to put doctrine and practice at odds with each other as if they were two different things, but they are two sides to the same coin. You are called to fight for the truth because people live according to what they believe is true, whether that truth is false or not. And doctrine affects how you worship God. If your theology is off by a little bit, off kilter, then your worship and how you live out your daily life will also be off kilter. So, what can you do? Well, read the Word of God. Bask in it. Study the scriptures. Expose yourself to sound theology. I mean, we live in a day and age where the amount of resources and teaching and preaching that is at our fingertips is just almost embarrassing. But we have many, many faithful men and women who have studied the scriptures as a church to equip you to interpret the scriptures rightly, to handle God's word truthfully. When you come to a difficult passage of scripture, well, you're not alone. Consult others. And as you compare and contrast what others have thought and other faithful saints before you have said about that passage, God, through his Holy Spirit, will lead you to a clear understanding of that passage. It may take time, and there are some passages harder than others, but God has made his word clear. He wants us to understand his glorious truth. What does it say in Ephesians? That God has given evangelists and pastors and teachers as a gift to the church, so that they will equip the saints for the work of ministry. As a lone ranger, as someone who is by yourself, you won't be able to fully maximize the glory of God in your life. You need others. Now, these applications are for a believer. But what about those of you sitting right here who haven't confessed Christ as Lord and Savior? Well, you're not going to see the glory of the gospel because your mind and your eyes have been closed by Satan to do his will. By this world, you are operating according to your flesh. You need to have your eyes open to behold the immortal God. You are blind to the truth, and you need the power of Christ to open up your eyes and to behold Christ in all of his beauty. You cannot live this godly life, this mystery of godliness, unless you first confess Christ as Lord. And 1 Timothy wants you to get to that point of confessing the gospel of Jesus Christ for your life. He wants you to get to chapter 3, verse 16. He who was manifested in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. God became flesh and entered this world as a man. Fully God and fully man. Truly God, truly man. And he lived and died for you and your sins. Because without him, there is no mediator between God and man. If there is no mediator, there is only wrath, judgment, and condemnation awaiting you on that day. But Christ paid the penalty for your sins and was raised from the dead so that he can apply the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to your life. And if you believe in him and what he did for you by faith, to receive his grace by faith, you will be saved. 2 Timothy 2:9 says this, that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Trying to save yourself, trying to rely on your good works, will only damn you to hell for eternity. And you don't have immortality, but Christ possesses immortality. And he can give it to you if you turn from your sins and if you confess Christ as Lord. Let's pray. Father, what an incredible letter this is, exalting and magnifying the glory of the gospel and the glory of yourself. We see your glory in the scriptures. And Lord, it is almost too much for us to handle. We rejoice and tremble at your glory, because though you are immortal, though you dwell in unapproachable light, this transcendent God came down as a man, the mystery of godliness, and he lived and died a sinner's death so that we would live a righteous life, so that we would be saved from our sins, from death and hell, to be rescued from this domain of darkness, to be transferred into the kingdom of light. We thank you for the marvelous truth of the gospel, that it is the ground, the foundation for all that we do, say, and think. And we ask, God, that for those who have not yet placed their trust in Jesus Christ, that they would do so today, that they would behold the glory of God, that they would behold the glory of Jesus, that they would behold the glory of the Holy Spirit in bringing redemption for sinners. Would you enable them to trust in you, to repent of their sins, and by faith to receive your amazing grace in their lives? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy
what you heard from the Word of God has touched your heart, has really impressed upon your heart the glory of the gospel, the glory of God, and you want to experience that glory and the life-transforming power of the gospel, we'll love to talk to you. Just come up to us and love to talk to you about salvation. If you just go out through these double doors and the second door to your left, just talk to us about any spiritual need you may have. 1 Timothy 6:15 through 16. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Have a blessed Lord's Day and Happy New Year.